We're joined by Noah Ovchinsky. He joins us every Friday to check in on what's happening in Wisconsin news.
Hi, Noah.
Hey, good afternoon.
So big news for the UW. There's been a search for a new president of the UW system. What's the final word?
So, yeah, UW Colleges and Extension Chancellor Ray Cross was appointed this week as the next president of the UW system. So as it turns out, the system and the regents in particular didn't have to look too far for their successful candidate.
Tell us a little bit about why Ray Cross got chosen.
Right. So actually, Ray Cross is the third, I believe, internal candidate in a row to become president of the system. And I think there are a few reasons based on what he's done in his job that he's just now leaving, as well as the relationships that he's had. One, I think Ray Cross has an enormous amount of credibility within the system because one of his big initiatives was the Flex option, which is an online degree program essentially aimed at working adults. This is a program that has been talked about by the governor and others quite positively in the last several months. So I think he got a lot of credit for that. You know, Ray Cross also knows the UW system. You know, regents have said that, you know, they feel that this is a very complex organization. It's a big budget. It's a lot of people. And that it was important to appoint someone who knows it well. And so I think that's the second reason. You know, another reason I'd say is Ray Cross has very good relationships with the governor, key legislators, the regents themselves, and he has a very good reputation on campus. And I think all of those things will be important as he takes over this very big job.
To spin off that last point of yours, now there had been some friction between the UW and the legislature around issues of transparency. Is there any indication about how Ray Cross might function as a liaison between the UW system and the state government?
Right. So last year there was quite a bit of controversy raised by key members of the legislature who took issue with the university's reserves, their cash reserves that the university had. This was at a time when the university was raising tuition, and it was quite a controversy, and one that lawmakers said was partly rooted, at least, in a lack of transparency that they felt existed between certainly lawmakers and administration at the UW system. Ray Cross has basically said that transparency will be one of his top priorities. He said, you know, one of his priorities will be simplifying the university financial reporting structure. He said, you know, it's got to be clear. And basically, you know, you shouldn't have to be a CPA. You shouldn't have to be an accountant to understand sort of the basic finances of the university system. And of course, that was one of the issues with these cash reserves and why they came as such a surprise to legislators. So I think for Ray Cross, part of that transparency is making sure that the finances are easy to understand, both for lawmakers and for members of the public.
And what about in terms of goals and initiatives that he might be interested? What's at the top of his list?
Yeah, other than that, you know, really that transparency issue, I'd say two other things he mentioned, I should say, during a press conference this morning. And this was sort of his first, event with the media since being appointed as president. And he identified really there are two challenges, actually, more than anything else. And he said one is he wants to help students who really are facing an increasing cost of education. He wants to make sure he keeps and the system itself keeps tuition down. It keeps student debt down. And the second challenge he talked about, in addition to the affordability issue, is compensation levels for faculty and staff. He said that absolutely must be addressed to ensure that the university stays competitive on the job market.
Any word on when he starts?
I believe it's mid-February. I think February 15th he's looking to start.
Okay. Well, in news from the Assembly, we have some movement on a few bills aimed at addressing the heroin problem in Wisconsin. And before we get to the particulars of that, where did the impetus for these bills come from?
I would say that, you know, heroin is a huge issue in Wisconsin and growing. And whether or not people in the community know or have been directly affected by heroin addiction, this is something that is having a really effect both on law enforcement and families. And here the legislature is picking up and trying to do something to stop what I think can only be described at this point as an epidemic. So the State Assembly moved out of committee this week three bills that really address this growing problem. They were sponsored by Representative John Nygren, whose daughter actually overdosed a few years ago on heroin. She did survive. But this is obviously an issue for him that cuts very close to home.
And getting to that first bill, this one's being called a Good Samaritan Law. What does it address?
Right. So one of the bills actually creates what's called a Good Samaritan Law in Wisconsin. And basically what it does is it grants immunity to anyone who calls 911, you know, to report an overdose. Or it grants immunity to people who might drop somebody off at the ER if they're overdosing. And, you know, people who work with addicts say, you know, it's this fear of really this prosecution that prevents people from picking up that phone or getting in the car, and that this would be really helpful. The second bill deals with Narcan, which is a drug that can essentially reverse the effects of an overdose. And it's a lifesaver for somebody who's overdosing on heroin and other opiate drugs.
And it kind of needs to be there in the moment of truth, right?
Right, exactly. So what this bill does is it requires all emergency level technicians to carry what we call Narcan. And this bill also allows police and firefighters to administer the drug. Right now, you know, only paramedics that have more sort of advanced training can carry the drug. There aren't that many that do. And so, again, this is something that people who work with addicts and, of course, families would love to see happen. I mean, this is a drug that saves lives, but right now it's not widely available. So this drug basically is what can save lives, including John Nygren's daughter's life. This drug was administered and proved to be incredibly helpful. So this bill would essentially make the availability of this drug much more wide.
And the third bill, now this one deals with prescription drug disposal programs. How does that figure in with the heroin problem?
Yeah, and this is it allows municipalities to run prescription drug disposal programs. Prescription drugs are one of the things law enforcement looks at, really the gateway. You know, some people start their addiction with, legal painkillers. And when they either don't get them high anymore or they don't have access to those painkillers anymore, people move on to heroin and other similar drugs. So it's kind of like the gateway drug. And so one of the things the state is trying to do, law enforcement's trying to do, is to crack down on prescription drugs. And interestingly enough, Shemaine Mills just reported this week about the prescription drug monitoring program, which is essentially a database where pharmacists, doctors, and law enforcement can look and see, you know, who's getting prescriptions for these drugs. It's supposed to minimize what we call, pharmacy shopping. Shemaine found, interestingly enough, that law enforcement really hasn't used this database very much because they've been so busy prosecuting heroin cases. This is in Eau Claire, Appleton, other cities in the state. So, I mean, they're so busy with dealing with heroin that they haven't had time to really utilize this database that supposedly would help them get to the root of this addiction.
This could be something helpful in the toolkit then.
It is. But, you know, they're just so busy with these heroin investigations that they don't have time.
Well, rounding things up today is the news of a leaked DNR report on the health and environmental risks associated with mining. What happened?
Right. So this report was just leaked, or I should say it was just published yesterday by Media Trackers, which is a conservative website. The organization obtained a copy. And what this was an internal DNR report that's sort of been circulating around the agency for a while. And basically what it does is it's a review of the scientific literature that's out there that more or less evaluates or deals with the risks associated with the kind of mining that's being proposed in the Pinoki Hills in northern Wisconsin. And it identifies several issues, effects on groundwater, the release of material that is what's described as asbestos-like material. And so this was – the release of this report was very controversial because obviously it feeds the fire to people who are against the mine. GTEC officials, the company who wants to build this mine, you know, they told the Wisconsin State Journal that they felt that some in the DNR, they use this report as proof that there are some in the DNR that are biased against mining, and that the report was prepared before the company even had a chance to finish sampling, which is supposed to reveal, you know, potential environmental problems.
And that seems to be the sticking point here, when exactly this report was compiled that GTEC is taking issue with.
Exactly. exactly. The DNR defended the report, saying, you know, that it's objective. It doesn't come down on one side or the other. It's not pro-mining or anti-mining. And they say, you know, this isn't part of the mining permit process itself, that the agency essentially says that the real work of evaluating this, the environmental impact of this proposed mine, really begins when they start working on the environmental impact study, which hasn't happened yet. You know, GTAC hasn't applied to officially mine yet. They're only sampling at this point. So the DNR says it's very early in the process, and, you know, this report wasn't meant to take the place of an environmental impact study.
So what do you think this will mean for the DNR and its relationship with GTAC going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the mining issue itself over the course of the last 2-3 years, I mean, it's certainly another chapter in what is a very controversial issue. But I'll say, I think at the very least, it really complicates the relationship between the DNR and GTAC. And obviously, there's going to have to be a lot of cooperation there if a mine is going to be built. And I think this sort of muddies the waters to some extent, because of how GTAC has responded to the report and how the DNR has responded to its release.
Well, Noah, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
Noah Ovshinsky is our news guy, making his weekly appearance, rounding up the news. And by the way, the new UW system president, Ray Cross, it looks like will be joining us on Tuesday afternoon to take a look ahead at his priorities.